You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Momoci, alongside me as always, Mr. BJ Armstrong.
Hey.
Mr. Armstrong, who called me last night on behalf of the city of Miami, as the Miami Heat got the 134 win against the Lakers, who put up just 93 points. JJ Redick said after the game, "I'm embarrassed. We're all embarrassed. It's not a game where we had the right fight, the right professionalism. There's got to be some ownership. I own this, but there's got to be some ownership on the court." Uh-oh, trouble in paradise. I've seen the LeBron interview after the game. He said, yeah, whatever JJ said, I agree with. Whatever JJ... So my thing is this now, yeah. Last year, you lot had the same record, or even a better record after this many games, and you all wanted to blame the coach. Now, suddenly, it's not the coach's fault. So what's the difference here?
Well, I'm just listening. I stay on the court. I can only tell you what I saw during those 48 minutes. All of the other things, Mo,
it's not about what you saw. It's about what you didn't see.
That's okay.
Don Julio, 1942 Casamigo, that's Ciroc, that's Grey Goose, that's whatever the hell else they had in the club the night before the game.
I'm not familiar with those
Neither
players.
Neither am I, but I've heard about their reputation. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right.
That's what I'm seeing, because those guys did not show up to play that game. They just didn't show up. They were not there to play NBA basketball last night.
Okay. I can only tell you what I saw in between the lines. That's one thing I'm going to have the discipline to do as we do this podcast.
I respect it. But then let me ask you this. Are we chalking this loss up to the city of Miami? Or is there a deeper problem with the Lakers here?
Mo, please feel free to replay what I said yesterday prior to the game. Now, if you want to act surprised, if you want to be surprised, everyone, please feel free. I'll wait. What I said yesterday as we were going through the games.
Do you know the funniest part?
Yes.
They just finished playing in Miami. Guess where they're playing next?
I have no idea.
The ATL on Saturday. So that means you got Thursday night, you got Friday night, and then you had in Atlanta for Saturday night. So either you're going to be in Miami for a Thursday or Friday, or you're going to be in Atlanta. And either way, I feel about those odds.
Listen to what I'm saying, Mo. I'm going to display discipline to stay on the court. I've never seen success without that word somewhere in its proximity.
Discipline.
Okay. Now, I said it yesterday. I'm going to say it today. And I've been in that locker room, and I said what I said yesterday prior to the game. Don't tell me after the game what happened. I told you before the game.
I wasn't aware of the schedule.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I said it.
You and Scott called it. Okay.
So this isn't new. This isn't something like, oh my goodness, what happened? Where did this come from? This is a learning curve. There's a reason some of us who've been around this business for, you know, some time, hey, we're telling the younger people, watch out, this is what's going to happen. And then they'll say, oh, that old guy, he's just, you know, get off my lawn. Okay. And then when it happens, then we start talking about it. And then one thing goes to another. And then we start talking about who we're going to blame. And no, this is the business that we're in. Hey, I just love the game. Hey, guys.
Here's the thing. Last year, they started the season 13-9 under Darvin Ham.
Okay.
They won the NBA Cup. This year, 12-10 under JJ Redick, they lost the NBA Cup. Here's the concerning part, though. Back to the court. Can you name the only teams with a worse defense than the Lakers right now in the NBA? There's three teams. There's only three teams. The Wizards.
The Washington Wizards have to be one, right?
Yep.
Let me see. Um, That team stands out. The Wizards really stand out to me.
They're 2-17.
But
Someone commented on my YouTube video yesterday because I did a video about
I'm
the
trying to think. I'm
Bucks.
trying to think. I don't. For some reason, I've gone blank. I don't know
I
what.
did a video about the Bucks, right? And I was highlighting Giannis's scoring, and I made the video about his mid-range scoring. And then that night, after I dropped the video, he went and scored 10 from 10 from the field against the Pistons. And I said, look, we've got to put into context like the wins Milwaukee have had are against easier teams. Someone commented saying there's no easy wins in the NBA. And I said, my friend, have you ever seen the Washington Wizards play basketball? But the other teams with a worse defense than the Lakers.
Hold on, hold on. Hold on.
Okay.
Philly's got to be somewhere
No,
in
no,
there.
no, 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 no.
Philly's not in there.
No.
Charlotte?
Philly have the 14th best defense in the NBA.
Is Charlotte in there?
Nope, the Charlotte Hornets are 18th.
Okay, go ahead. I have no idea.
The Jazz have the worst defense in the NBA.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Washington Wizards are second worst. Then the New Orleans Pelicans, who have not had a healthy roster all season. And then the Los Angeles Lakers. So that's not great company to be in. If we're talking about, you've got the offense with JJ Redick, and everyone was so excited when the season started and all the nice plays he's drawing up. And there's two sides to the basketball court. And it's insane to me that everyone talks about, oh my God, how's Anthony Davis never won Defensive Player of the Year? Have you ever seen a Defensive Player of the Year with a bottom four ranked defense? Not that defense is an individual thing, but come on now. Their defense can't be this bad if they want to compete in the Western Conference. They've got a worse defense than the Trailblazers. They've got a worse defense than the Bulls, than the Nets, than the Pacers, who are known for having a terrible defense. The Raptors, who are tanking, they've got a worse defense than the Knicks, who have got Karl-Anthony Towns. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've got a worse defense than the Hornets and the Pistons.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's pretty interesting. I wouldn't have. Especially with Anthony Davis, but I've said for years about Anthony Davis. I had the luxury of watching him play, while he was in high school. I was still living in Chicago at the time. At least part-time I was. Anthony Davis is, Mo, you've heard me say it, our listeners, they're big guys and then they're tall guys. Anthony Davis is a tall guy. His greatest,
He's a guard who had a growth spurt in high school.
yeah, that's what I was about to say, Mo. I watched him play the point guard
Yeah,
position
he
as a
was a
high
point
school
guard,
player.
and then even when he was at Kentucky, he wasn't like a traditional five man. Even though he blocked a lot of
Those
shots,
shots,
the advantage of Anthony
and
Davis was that he's got guard skills and he can do this and he can do that.
and Mo, I've said this for years, all right? And I learned this from Scottie Pippen. I learned it from Scottie. Scottie was one of the most unique players I've ever seen because he got bored if he didn't do everything. You couldn't just make him into a guard. You couldn't just make him into a forward. You couldn't just put him down there with the bigs and say, hey, now you're going to be a big guy. You had to let him float around. He was the only player I ever played with that truly was magnificent at everything he did on the defensive end. And he would float around. And I remember we were sitting there one day and we were just talking. And I was like, how do you remember all of the plays on both sides of the court? As a guard, I knew my position. I knew what it was like to defend at that position. But he would defend one, and then some nights he would defend the two, the three, the four. And then in some series, he was guarding the other team's five guy because we wanted to place him. And he knew all 10 positions on the floor on both sides of the ball. And I thought, God, am I working hard enough? He made me really feel bad because I was like, I'm only doing my little position and I'm studying in. And this guy knows everyone's position. And the reason I'm saying that, Mo, is because some players have a unique skill set. We call it, Mo, positionless basketball. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Davis doesn't have a position. If I just stick Anthony Davis at the five position, I'm doing him a disservice. Why? Because Anthony Davis can defend the three, the four, and the five. And in some cases, he can probably defend the ones and the twos. All right, if you switch out on Anthony Davis, I don't consider that a mismatch. When we don't utilize his versatility on the floor, Mo, because every single night, Mo, he is what I would consider in today's game an X factor. Every night, he has an advantage somewhere on the floor. And I feel if I'm playing with Anthony Davis, it's my job as a lead guard. If I were coaching Anthony Davis, if I was building a team around his talent, is to figure out where to put him on the floor every single night to give us an advantage. We know that some nights it may be at the five position, but we also know, Mo, at some nights it may be at the four, at some other nights it may be at the three. But let me assure you, Mo, for 82 games or every game that he's available, you will have some advantage on the floor on the offensive or defensive end. And Mo, he's an elite. He's not a good shot blocker. He's an elite shot blocker. Now, I think Anthony Davis has to be utilized how you utilize some of these players and just move them around the floor and figure out where they're going to be. If he's playing against Jokic, you can't tell me, Mo, that he should be playing 48 minutes versus that guy. But you can tell me, Mo, that I can put him on other positions on the floor that gives us a clear advantage in that game or in that series. He is that good of a player, but his greatest strength is his versatility. And when I see things happening like this, under no circumstances, Mo, should Anthony Davis have what did he have last night? 8 points? And you're seeing now, Mo, you're seeing these like 30 points, 8 points, 30 points, 12 points. That should be an indication, Mo, that something is going on with the rhythm and the flow of the game, because he's a 25-point scorer on a bad night in this league, in my opinion. And I think if they're going to be a consistent good team, right, which the Lakers, that's what they're shooting for, Anthony Davis has to be the best player offensively on the team. He's got to be 25 to 30 plus every
Well,
night,
he
no
took
matter what.
14 shots, but he only made three of them.
Okay, well, again, I said this yesterday too. As a
LeBron took
guard,
18. Yeah.
I feel responsible to make sure that my best player on that team, on my team, or any team that I play on, whoever the best player is, my job is to get him the ball where he can operate. And right now, clearly, Anthony Davis. So what if, okay, he goes 3 for 14. Well, those are first half stats. This guy is good enough, Mo. He should be getting a minimum of 20 shots a night. I don't care what the game it looks like. He's that good, Mo. The offense has to flow through him.
Yeah.
It has to flow
But
through him.
I think more for the defensive side of the thing, right? If we take Anthony Davis out of the equation, who's the best defender on the Lakers?
I've said, listen,
Name.
I've said this again. Hey, Mo, like, I look at games like this, and I look at games like this on the road, Mo, right? And when I get on the road, I go, okay, Mo, like, I really want to play fast and get up and down the court and shoot threes. That's fun, right? However, Mo, as a guard, I always looked at the game and I go, okay, where is everybody at? We've been on the road. And when you're on the road, Mo, you just have like mental fatigue, right? You're on the road. They're all the way in Miami. They're all the way across country. Da 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 da. Mo, why would I allow my best player to play against Bam? No,
Because
I'm just asking, Mo. And the reason I'm saying that, Mo, is because Bam's an all-star Olympian.
Bam might be one of the best defenders in the NBA.
Okay.
And I think you can make a case that he's a better defender than Anthony Davis himself.
You can make these cases. However, but who's the power forward for the Miami Heat?
They were playing Highsmith and Jimmy Butler at the forward positions.
Okay. So, Mo, every day I'm trying to figure out where is my advantage on the floor so that I can dictate the flow and rhythm of the game. Now, I'm not criticizing the coaching. I'm just utilizing a talent. The talent dictates how you have to play to win the game. That's my job. I get how we all want to play. I would love to play that way too. However, I must figure out during the course of the game, where is my advantage on the floor? My advantage on the floor is to make sure that I have, and I can meet the physicality of the game with Bam, right? Because Bam is a physical player. He plays with a certain amount of moxie down there. He controls the paint for the most part. And can Anthony Davis do that in stretches? Absolutely. But you can't tell me that I can't figure out how to get Anthony Davis to the four position, put another big guy out there so that now we can minimize the effectiveness on Bam on the defensive end.
Well, this goes down to the construction of their roster, though, that we've been talking about ever since the bubble season ended.
And that is where I was going with this mode. You have to utilize Anthony Davis' versatility. I don't care. Can he play the five? Yes. Is he an all-star at the five? Yes. That's the problem. However, if I'm not moving him around on the floor, Mo, what's the point?
Well, Milwaukee figured it out because they play Giannis at the four. And then if they need to, they can slide him to the five for a few minutes. And if they need to, they
You
can
need
even
to
run Lopez and
just
Portis with Giannis out there as well.
there. See,
So
Mo,
the
there you
Bucks have
go.
figured it out. The
You, there you
Lakers
go.
figured it
They just
out for
got
1 year in the bubble.
it.
And
There.
then I guess they got Marc Gasol, but it all kind of fell apart.
Well, you they had it right, in my opinion.
In the
They
bubble.
had it right in the bubble because they had JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard.
And right now, aside from Anthony Davis on their roster, they've got Jackson Hayes, who's currently out. They've got Amel Traore and Christian Koloko. And with respect to those guys, I personally feel like even though Dwight is now doing a podcast, shout out to my boy Snipe, who does the podcast with Dwight, but I bet he could give you better minutes than those guys. And I bet JaVale could do the same thing.
Because what is your best player has elite. He does a couple things. Elite. He first of all, he can make shots, right? Especially in that mid-range. He can make shots. He's an elite offensive player playing against anybody. Then, Mo, he's an elite shot blocker. You're talking about a guy who is an elite shot. Mo, he's elite. So if what is the one characteristic that most shot blockers have? They love to play on the weak side of the floor. So if you put Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, and these guys were the starting centers. And then you moved Anthony Davis around accordingly, then it always gives you an advantage.
It also
That's
means that whenever
called.
you play the Nuggets, you won't get your ass kicked because Anthony Davis got a cardio kick for 48 minutes.
This is, Mo, it just seems so obvious to me that you must have two centers that plays with him so that you don't beat him up and let him play against these big guys and let him. Why is he banging with Sabonis and Bam and okay, can he do it? Yes,
He
but
can
why
do it, and
let?
then he'll get injured.
But Mo, because he's not a big guy. You hear me say that there are big guys and there are tall guys. He's tall. He's
Yeah.
not a big guy. He's not. Why is he playing against Brook Lopez? Brook Lopez is a big man. Going to put 280 pounds on Anthony Davis's frame. For what? Like, why are we exposing him to this level of physicality? For what reason? Now, can he do it in short stretches during the game? Yes. However, allow those other guys, big guys. I thought they had that right. And then it allowed them to be an elite shot blocking team, and they were a big team. LeBron James is every bit, what, 6'10?
Yeah.
Right? He's so 6'10, 7 foot, 7 foot. Now you're big. Now everyone has to deal with your size. Now you have an identity. Then you can figure out if you want to play small, put LeBron at the five or the four or wherever you want. Then you can play around with the game. But when you put him there and you just keep him there, now it limits your options.
And here's the thing, LeBron at this stage of his career is not playing defense in the way that he has previously in his career. I'll say that in a nice way. Rui Hachimura, Dalton Knecht, Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, Gabe Vincent, Max Christie. I guess Cam Reddish is your second best defender after Anthony Davis. And the funniest part is they all clowned Darvin Ham, and they all clowned, the Lakers fans all clowned Taurean Prince, who is now shooting 56% from behind the arc for the Milwaukee Bucks and playing defense.
It's always just a fit. I've said this. These players are really, really, really good. They're really good. But we, and I say we, the executives, the coaches, it's our job to really figure out the formula. I know, I get it. I get why everyone wants to play this brand of basketball. I get it. And if your team is built to play that brand, hey, I'm all for it. However, every player doesn't have that skill set to play five-out basketball. Every team doesn't have a Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, Derek White, Porzingis, Al Horford. Okay, if you had that team, I get why you're shooting threes. I get it. I can't say anything. That team was built. But if you have team with their other, why are you guys shooting threes like that? It doesn't make sense to me. And I don't have anything against threes. I love to shoot. Okay, I'm all about shooting. However, how are we losing focus on winning the game? Like, when did
the Lakers style... only shot? They only shot 22 threes last night, and they only scored five of them. The Heat, meanwhile, went 24 of 47 from behind the arc. And I think Tyler Herro hit seven straight in the third quarter, something ridiculous.
Yeah, listen. Just give yourself a chance to win. That's my give yourself a chance to win. Winning trumps all of that. I don't care if you need to shoot 40 threes, so be it. If that is your best chance to win, so be it. But winning has to be the priority, 1, 2, and 3, of why you're doing what you're doing.
It's also, if your philosophy, okay, the philosophy of Boston is to shoot a lot of threes. But do you know the second half of that philosophy that no one ever talks about? Defensively, they don't give up threes like other teams do. That's why they can win on the mat, right? Now, if you want to shoot a lot of threes and then not play the requisite defense, then it doesn't matter how many you shoot. You still could lose that game.
The Celtics are one of the few teams in this league that never double team. Think about that.
Because they have a good defender. I say it every time. They have good defenders at every single position. I was watching the Celtics Cavs game the other day. I did this in a YouTube video last night. There's a possession where Peyton Pritchard, who is like 5'10", is matched up in transition with Evan Mobley. And they still don't double. And Peyton comes away stripping the ball off him. And the Celtics go the other way. Okay? They have dogs at every position that could guard. I just listed out every player on the Lakers roster, and you couldn't name one of them aside from Anthony Davis that actually plays defense. That's the difference.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Bro. Oh, come on.
I don't know if I agree. Come on. Like, you know, like what's the kid? Gabe Vincent. Like,
don't you know, tell I know me Gabe defend. Vincent's a good defender.
I saw this kid go to the NBA Finals.
No. With... Miami Gabe Vincent and Laker Gabe Vincent, and they're two very different people now.
He's the same guy.
No, he's not. No.
He's the same guy.
If you watch him play now, there is no way you can believe
he's
the same
Cam
guy.
This kid, Cam Reddish.
That's what I said. He's the second best defender. It's Cam Reddish.
Okay, Cam Reddish gives you, you know, I think Rui gives you a good effort. I think, Austin Reeves gives you a good effort. The kid Canuck gives you a good effort. The issue is you have to be able to match up with your players on the opposing team every single night. And that can't be compromised, right? I mean, you have to be able to match up to the speed and pace of the game. You have to be able to match up to the physicality of the game. And right now, their best defensive player, right, who anchors their defense, he anchors their defense. That means if you're going to anchor the defense, you're the last line of the defense, a la Rudy Gobert. And then what do teams do against Rudy Gobert in the playoffs? They bring him farther away from the basket, okay? When you can actually have time to game plan and get the right matchups on the floor. Anthony Davis is so versatile that I would argue that actually may be a bonus for them if you try to pick on him. If you try to do screen roles with him to say, hey, we're going to give our guard an advantage. Okay, great. Good for us. Anthony Davis on the ball. Okay. He is that good. So I just think it's just a matter of little tinkering with the team, and what they, are, in my opinion, what they should be trying to do is just to be more versatile. I get why you don't want, maybe a LeBron guarding threes and chasing guys anymore. I get that. I understand that. However, but they also have a team where they can really take advantage of their size, their experience, and being able to control the tempo of the game. I mean, you have to double Anthony Davis. I mean, I there isn't a player that he can't function in this game. He is that good of a player. So, but yeah, I'm sure they'll figure it out. I know JJ is very competent, just like I knew Darvin Ham was very competent. And but it's unfortunate that we start, blaming people, but I don't think that's necessary. Darvin Ham is a really, really good coach. And I said it then, said now. However, this is what comes with the territory. This is what comes with the job, and you got to be a big boy and you understand it. But I think now we're seeing, as we see with every team, there are always flaws with every group. But I do expect this group to figure it out, though, because they have talent. Just like we're seeing now Milwaukee figure it out. Just a couple of weeks ago, Bo, we were all saying, what's going on in Milwaukee?
Yeah, but
Okay.
every player on the Milwaukee is now shooting like 20% better. Okay.
But that's because now we're utilizing the versatility of Giannis.
But what I will say to that is Milwaukee were not a bottom four defense when we were talking about them like that. They were bad defensively, but they weren't in the company of the Wizards and the Jazz. You see what, like, everyone's worried about scoring and you're talking about Anthony Davis taking more shots.
Okay.
I'm talking about getting stops.
But hear what I just said. Brooke Lopez mimics what I just said, I think would be a nice recipe for the Lakers.
Yeah,
Get a big guy, JaVale
but where are they going to
McGee.
get one from free agency?
Well, wherever, get a player that can play alongside and complement your best player.
I agree, but what I will say to counter that is, what year is it now? 20. It's almost 2025. They won the bubble championship. Was what, 2022? It's
Yeah, maybe.
been Was the bubble 2022? No, it wasn't. The bubble was 2020.
I can't remember,
Yeah, because
but
then the
somewhere
Bucks
around
won
there.
21, Warriors won 22, Nuggets won 23, Celtics won 24. So since 2020, it's been almost 5 years now. And Rob Pelinka, I don't know if this thought has occurred to him or not. Do you
I'm
know what I'm
not
saying?
blaming it.
And then
Here is
I'm not
the
blaming. I'm just
yes,
saying, if
but
they
here's the
wanted to,
formula.
they would have.
The formula Giannis is showing you. Brooke Lopez is showing you every single day, every single night. Brooke Lopez is showing you the importance of having a player that can do all of the little things that people maybe don't understand, right? You have to have an Al Horford is showing you. You have to have these guys. Like, I get it. Everyone wants to go around and shoot. I get it. I understand it.
The
And I'm
part
not
that
harping on
the
that.
part that the LeBron and the Lakers fans are gonna be mad at is LeBron ain't out there doing the little things. He's not out there playing the help defense that he should be. He's not out there doing
No,
the little things.
you're asking him to do it as a power forward.
No, but this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. If you can move AD to the four and have a big, then LeBron's at the three.
Again, we're all trying to figure this out. LeBron James is not a power forward.
That's
That's
what I'm
not
saying.
what
That's
is.
what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's not a power
Like,
forward.
he's
So,
him and Rui at the forward spots, and it's like, I don't know if either of them are actually power forwards. Do you know what I mean?
So when you can he play the power forward? Yes, in today's game, for sure. However, if you're consistently asking someone to just do one thing, LeBron James can play the one, two, three, four, and five. If you don't move these guys around, what's the point of having them? You got to move them around on the floor. You got to play. Okay, where's
There's no
LeBron? Is
versatility in this roster.
There's versatility. You just have to be willing to do it. Your best player has to be able to play multiple positions. Like for instance, okay, if you're playing with, and I'm just going back to Jordan, because Jordan, he really kind of changed the game in this, and no one ever says it, but here's what it is. Michael Jordan, if you say, what position did he play? He played the two position, right? Kobe Bryant, what position did he play? The late Kobe Bryant, what position did he play? Well, you would probably say he's a shooting guard. But here's the truth. He really played the five position, both of them, because they caught the ball below the free throw line probably 30 times, not probably, 30 or more times a night. They played from the post.
Do you want to know a story relevant to that? The Portland Trailblazers had the first pick in the draft the year that Jordan got drafted. No, they didn't. They had the second pick. Houston had the first pick. Everyone knew they were taking Hakeem. And the GM of the Trailblazers called one of the coaches who was coaching MJ. I think he was with like a Team USA or something. And he said, I don't know, like, who should we pick? The guy said, pick Michael Jordan. Portland Trailblazers said, we need a center. And do you know what they said to him? They said, play him at the center.
Yeah, he's, yeah. I mean, he was a center. That's the why was he a center? Because there are principles to the game. These guys are so good that we get caught up in the stats, but the stats don't tell the story. Why would a two guard play the center position? Because he understood the following principle. Penetration is a part of an elite team. That's why you play the game from the post. You have to get the ball to the post, right? You have to have a penetrating pass to get it there to where the players, now you can pass to the other four players on the floor. That's a fact. It doesn't matter. Like all of these things that were drive and kick and all this. Well, okay, if I only drive to the right side, I can only pass to the players on the right side. You must have an offense as you play against elite defensive teams that's going to allow you to pass the ball to the other four players on the floor. That's a fact. It doesn't matter. It's not this old school, new school thing. You have to tell it like it is. When you're watching Milwaukee now, they're getting the ball to Giannis and they're giving him an opportunity to do what great players do. I can pass to five players on the floor, my four teammates, and I can shoot. You got to give them every option. Giannis, your job is to figure out what's the best option. Now, get it to my best player and let's play. And guess what? If we need to put him at the point guard position, we'll do that. If we need to put him in the post, we'll do that. We'll put him at the elbow, we'll do that. We'll put him in screen roll. We will put him in a position at every given moment where he can pass to the other four players and the fifth player being the basket.
Well, here's
Because the basket is a form of penetration.
the
A
interesting
shot
part
is.
is this season, LeBron James is 10th in post-ups per game. Anthony Davis is 12th in post-ups per game. Giannis is fifth right now. Jokic, obviously, number one. But like, what's interesting is, like, if we're looking at the top 20, Jaylen Brown and Tatum are there, even though the Celtics are just shooting threes. But and when Porzingis has played more minutes, he'll be in the top of 10 of that list as well.
This is the things that we. Look, I get it. Promote the game, promote the fun stuff. I get it. However, we have a responsibility to say, okay, yeah, that's fun to watch. Alley-oops, guys do great creative things. But for the most part, Mo, we have to get back to the core of the game. And we've gotten so far away from it now. Now we don't even know what it looks like. We're just like, well, what's going on? And then, the easy thing is to start blaming. No, we're not blaming. Just let's get back to the core. The core of this game is you have two elite players. And look, JJ is a young coach. He will figure this out. He will figure it out. However, we just want to point it out here so that tomorrow night when they play Atlanta or whenever they play Atlanta and he
Saturday.
get Saturday and we'll say, okay, he's figuring it out. That's growth is part of the game. That's why you have a long season. And
We know that they be listening. We know that they be listening, BJ. Did you know that since your rant about
oh
teams not
gosh.
using the mid-range went viral on social media, 13 teams across the league had noticeable increase in shots taken from the mid-range. So at least half the league's listening. And the teams who didn't have an increase or had a decrease are some of the worst teams in the NBA. So that's interesting. So shout out to you coaches and front office guys who are listening to the show. We appreciate you tuning in.
Out to the game. Well, this is one thing that when I first met you, that was very obvious. You love the game.
Oh, hell yeah.
And to be just completely transparent, it's always been about the game with you and I. It's the game. Yeah. We want the game to keep moving. You know what would be really cool? If we saw the Lakers on Saturday make adjustments and we go, you know what? That's cool. Because that's better for the game. It's better for the viewers. It's better for the team. The team starts winning. Then the other team has to make an adjustment. Man, the Lakers are playing different. Guess what we got to do? We got to start defending different. And then, Mo, the game improves. The players, hey, whatever it is, the game should dictate how you play, mm-hmm. right? I would love to say this is the way I want to play, but
it depends on the players that you've got on your roster, and you've got to play in a style that's optimal to them. Credit to the Lakers offensively, they have done a few nice things here and there.
Yes.
But the other thing is as well, you got to play some defense. And if we get to, because we're almost at a 25 game mark, if we get to Christmas and they're still in the bottom five for defense, their season's done. If you get to Christmas, January, and you're a bottom five defense, like, teams have turned it around before, but I don't know how you can turn that around.
Your best player is a defensive player of the year candidate.
But he's not. In my list, you can't be on the bottom five defense and be on that list. But the worst part is Miami have not been the best offensive team this season. They've struggled getting offense, and they scored 134 points.
Yeah.
That's you had six, one, two, you had six guys in, was it six? Yeah, six guys in double figures. And you got Kevin Love out there guarding Anthony Davis looking like it's 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, shout out to Kevin Love. But this is the thing with what Miami can do. They can bring Kevin Love off the bench and play him in a lineup with Bam Adebayo. And now you've got double bigs and so on and so forth. But that's another episode. Laker fans, I know you're going to be mad at me, but guess what? I don't care. My team's sitting pretty at the top. You know what I'm saying? Laker fans, don't let us get number 19.
Don't leave, Mo. He cares about the game. He's trying to be
I love the game too much. You know what I'm saying? Because they will ask me if I love them. I said, no, I only love the game. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's another episode. Make sure you subscribe. YouTube, Spotify, Apple. Appreciate everyone sending their screenshots to their Spotify Wrapped. Big up to all of you guys. Keep sending them in. We love and appreciate you guys who tune in every day and listen to our various ramblings about the NBA. It feels like a Friday today. I was going to ask what your weekend plans, but it's only Thursday.
It's only Thursday. Good game tonight, I think, right?
Oh, wow. We didn't even look ahead to tonight's schedule. Let's do that real quick before we wrap it up here. Tonight, we've got... Oh, there's quite a few games. Mavs-Wizards. I'm picking the Mavs. I think you're picking the Mavs.
Yes, yes.
Nuggets-Cavs. Cavs are at home. I'm picking the Cavs.
Yes.
Thunder-Raptors. I'm picking the Thunder.
Yes.
Knicks-Hornets. I'm picking the Knicks.
Yes.
Spurs-Bulls. I'm picking the Spurs.
Yes.
Suns-Pelicans. I'm picking the Suns.
Yes.
Kings Grizzlies, I'm picking the Grizzlies.
Yes.
Rockets Warriors, I'm picking the Rockets.
I'll go with that.
Clean sweep across the board. You're welcome.
I'm agreeing. I'm agreeing with everything you're saying.
Yes, sir.
I agree with you.
Yes, I agree sir. With that. All right. Well, that's another episode. We'll see you guys tomorrow for another one. And in the meantime, get buckets.